Me and Brother Bruce, I'll probably just use this morning. I'm just kind of getting this growing on me. Amen. I'm starting to like this pulpit mic a little more and more. And so, just Proverbs chapter 29, if you would. And I do appreciate everybody's faithfulness. Like I said, God bless you, and trusting God to help us. Amen. This morning, I need God to help me to just speak for a few moments to encourage you and to help us. Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to read one verse of Scripture, which I'm sure everybody here has heard, and I have quoted. You probably heard it quoted out of context many times, but I'm sure it had some truth to it, even when it was quoted out of context. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, and when you get there, just give me a good amen. Amen. Proverbs 29 verse 18 reads just like this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You hear that? But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people do what? Perish. Anybody ever heard that verse before? Sometimes you may hear that verse when you're trying to build a new facility. Or when you're trying to maybe further a project. We often hear this quoted frequently in order that we may be inspired or challenged to do something. And often we say, we need to have vision. We need to have vision. Well, today I want to preach this. I look back on the internet. I spoke from these verses 2 years ago, almost today. And I was praying this weekend as we were preparing. And, you know, I say a preacher's never really on vacation because you're always thinking about Sunday. It's just the way it is. Your mind's always preoccupied with the next service coming up, wanting to know the mind of the Spirit for that. But I was praying and this came to mind about this vision. And I looked back on the internet about 2 years ago. I spoke on this briefly without really going into a lot of detail, but I'm going to use the same title, but yet I'm going to preach it differently with God's help. I want to preach to you on there is derision where there is no vision. There is derision where there is no vision. We look at this verse in the Bible and we understand we can often applaud the leader who is a visionary. I've met men in my own life that when I met them instantly I could tell that person right there is a visionary. That person right there, there's some preachers that I've even met that just had a way to get things done about them. We've all probably met somebody, even in church or out of church, that just could see something and get it done and almost do it with such tenacity and such aggressiveness that you sit there and you admire that. But when we look at this verse today, and I understand it's good to have a dream and a target and an aim and things like that in life, but when we look at this verse today, that is not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about having a vision. Look, I want a bigger home, so I envision that. And that's not what it's talking about. This word vision in the Bible, what it translates to be, now follow me here, this word vision in the Bible translates to be a sight mentally, a dream, a revelation, or an oracle vision. It often is translated prophecy is what the word means. And then the word there, perish, means this. It means to avenge, to avoid, to bear, to go back. It also means, that word in original language means to make one naked. So we look at this and you can read this verse just like this and it takes nothing away from it. Some of the versions actually interpret it just like this. Where there is no prophecy, people cast off restraint. Where there is no prophecy, people cast off restraint. So basically here what this is saying is that there is a fatal effect of the absence of such revelation of God's will, that when there is no God's will, when there is no prophecy, when there is no mind of God with a people, a church, a family, or an individual, that individual will cast off all restraint and begin to do things that they should not do. And we're going to go into this a little more in detail later on in this message as far as bringing it back home to us. But when you look at this verse, almost every commentary, almost not everyone, but a lot of even study Bibles, bring this same verse and give you the reference to the book of Exodus chapter 32 and verse 25. Let me give you the setting of the story. We know that Moses is up on Mount Sinai. We know that he's getting the law from God. He's up there. And then we know that the bottom of the mountain, you have the children of Israel and you have Aaron who had made a God
golden calf, and the Bible says this, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Here Moses is, the man of God. He comes down this mountain. He looks out there and notices how far down he came, we don't know. He looks out and he notices that the children of Israel are dancing naked around a golden calf. They are intoxicated. They're doing things such as the heathens would do. So we look at this, and Moses, the man of God, had been on the mountain receiving from God, and at the foot of the mountain, you had a group of people who did not have any revelation. They did not have their Moses. They did not have that man that would speak to them and give them direction. And you look here and you can notice where they had no vision spiritually, they cast out all restraint, and here they are in their own shame and nakedness, dancing around a golden calf. I would submit to us this morning, this is the same thing that happens within our country, that happens within our churches, that happens within our family, when there is no open revelation of who God is and what the will of God is for our life and for our churches. I look today here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, and we must understand this. We must live in vision. We must live in revelation. We must live within the will of God. I'm not talking about just the revealed will of God, such as the Word. That is necessary. But also the unique will of God for you as an individual and for this church. What does God want for you as an individual? What does God want for us as a church? What is His will for your life and my life? We must have that vision. I believe every time one is born into this world that God, if you don't mind me putting it this way, God has a dream for you. God has a vision for you. God has a will for you. God has things that He wants you to do. And if you submit yourselves to Him, thank God that God not only knows the means, He knows what we are. He knows what our makeup is. He knows our families. He knows which area where we are going to live in. I believe God has a will for you. And you will never know that will of God in your life unless you seek after it, unless you pray for it, unless you know. You've got to know this. When seeking for the will of God and the vision for your life, it takes discipline. It takes obedience. It takes sometimes suffering. It takes sometimes you going through valleys and stretching and trial, that God makes you the masterpiece and puts you exactly where He wants you to be, my brothers and sisters. I thoroughly believe that. There's vision for you this morning, and I'm going to ask you this question. Are you living in the vision that God has for you? Are you living in the revelation? Are you living in the will of God? If not, if you're not careful and you find yourself outside of that dream and vision, you'll find yourself casting off restraint. You'll find yourself outside of the will of God, and you'll find yourself miserable. Hear me today, my friend, but when the church loses its revelation, when the church loses its prophecy, it is the worst thing that can happen to a church, because it dehydrates that church, and that church falls back on formality, and that church falls back into worldliness, and the church falls back into just doing what we think is right in our own eyes. I've seen it as I traveled and preached. A church that was on fire for God. And you go there and you notice that there's no vision anymore. You notice that there's nothing else. Do you know this? There's a principle in Scripture. It's called the third generation principle, to where usually by the third generation of a church or of a family, that third generation is almost apostate. Let me give you a fine example. And I'm using this within context. Please follow me. God has given Brother Glenn a vision for this church. Do you believe that? I don't believe he would have came here and probably went through some of the things he went through. I'm learning more and more as a pastor. There's sacrifice. I've learned that as a missionary. I've learned that in evangelism, as far as evangelism traveling. But I'm learning as a pastor. I appreciate men that had a pioneering spirit. But do you see the vision there? But do you know that usually, I'm not saying that happened here, but follow me. Usually by the third generation means not his sons, but also his son's sons or son's daughters. And I know Sister Shannon, I'm not saying that just because you're here. Hear me. But I'm saying for principle here, usually in a lot of areas, that third generation becomes apostate, because what it is, they only know about the God that Brother Glenn would know about. Thank God we got some grandchildren serving the Lord. But what I'm saying is this.
That third generation, usually what happens is this, and we can use it, many principles in Scripture. Let me use my own family. I wish I used this in the first place. Please follow me. I have my granddaddy, L.T. Chapel, who was a preacher and a pioneer. All right? He has children. None of them, there's many of them serving the Lord, but none of them took up the work that he did. And then comes the third generation. All of us grandchildren at one point were lost. But God still has a vision. And I'm not saying it was because of me. It could have been my older brother. Maybe if he heeded the call. I don't know. Only God knows. But here I am, preaching the gospel years down the road. Thank God for a vision. God knows these things. He is a God that has aspirations and dreams for us. Hear me today. The worst thing that can happen to a church is when it loses its vision. It becomes a social club. It becomes a place of fellowship. It becomes in survival mode to where simply that church is existing. And the activity of the Holy Ghost stops. No message of heaven, no healing, no gifts, no message of holiness, and everybody just gets comfortable because the vision is not in operation as God has intended. But notice this, when there is no vision, the people perish. Let me show you in Scripture, and if you want to, you can jot this down or turn to it in your own time. But 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Hear me. The word of the Lord was precious, and there was no open vision. Basically here, the spirit of prophecy was not there anymore. Eli, who was the priest at that time, not only was he dim as far as the vision of his natural eye, but also spiritually. He had lost his edge. He had lost his ability. No prophecy or word from heaven. And the writer here shows us there was no open vision. Let me give you the results when there is no open vision. It shows us right here in the name chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. It talks about the sons of Samuel, the sons of Eli, forgive me. Hear me today. This is Hophni and Phinehas. And this is what the Bible said. These are the sons of the man of God. And it says this, that they were sons of Belial. What do you think that means? They served the devil. It goes on to say they knew not the Lord. It goes on to say they mishandled the sacrifice. It goes on to say they committed adultery with women at the temple. And notice this, it says they would not repent. And the Bible says Eli restrained them not. Eli restrained them not. Did he tell you where that came from? That came from there being no open vision. That came from there being no more dream. That came from there being no more revelation. Church, we've got to keep the revelation of God's Word alive. Not only in our midst in these four walls, but you've got to take this revelation home with you. You've got to take this revelation to work with you. You've got to take this revelation to the prayer closet with you. Thank God that God has spoken to us by His Son. Thank God that God has spoken to us by His written Word. Thank God that God speaks to us by the leading of His Spirit and that inner witness. But if that's not working in your life and you reject those things, you will find yourself, your family, your community, and your church casting off all restraint. Do you think the church world has gotten to where it is tonight overnight? Or today overnight? Little by little, vision was lost. Little by little, we've seen things changing. My friend, hear me. And this is what the Bible says about Hophni and Phinehas. And the sin of the young men was very great before Jehovah. For men despised the offering of Jehovah. They quit even bringing their sacrifices to church because there was no vision. And these boys, basically, can you picture the children of Israel saying, why even go to the temple? It's dead anyhow. You got Hophni and Phinehas doing all those wicked things. I'd rather build an altar myself. Why even go there anymore? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's been even in our church world. Some people don't even desire to go to the house of God anymore. But I've asked God right here, Lord, cultivate vision, cultivate revelation, where somebody would say within themselves, I don't want to go there just to sing and go through formality. I want to go there and meet with Jehovah God. I want to go there and feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. I want that revelation. And when there's a revelation, there will be people that will come and things will happen. They will happen. So notice this. God breaks the silence by a little boy by the name of Samuel. I love the story of Samuel. And we ain't got to talk about how wonderful his mama was, because she was a good woman. Amen. Saintly old woman, wasn't she? We know she gave Samuel to be dedicated to the temple. And there is a young boy. We know the story. One night he's laying there. God was about to change that situation and speak His precious word to a young boy. Notice it said the word of the Lord was precious in those days, which means it was hard to come by. Have you ever been there before? I've traveled this country. I've been through a lot of church. I don't know how many altogether. I've been to churches where it is precious to find men and women of God. I've been to some places like a circus show. I preached one time at a church. I may have told the story here before, but I went there and no revelation. I remember pulling up, I get this call. I didn't know Ohio had so much country. Hey man, I'm driving and driving. I said, where is this church at? They didn't have a pastor. And I kind of seen why when I got there. I pulled up in the church, the grass is about chest high. And the building, and I'm not exaggerating, the building was 100-something years old. I mean, it looked like almost like, I don't believe in ghosts and boogeymen and all that stuff, but if there ever was a thing that looked like a haunted house, it looked like that. I mean, I remember walking in and said, where are we at? That? And the guardman said, on the left. I said, that can't be it. And I looked around, cornfields. I said, it's got to be it. And I ain't going to say nothing about the big old creepy graveyard out beside it with 100-something year old tombstones. I've walked in, I've never seen such chaos in my life. I walked in and the woman that greeted me, she said, you're the preacher? I said, yes. I'll never forget it. She had so much makeup on her eyelashes that when she would blink, it'd wipe on her glasses. I looked at my wife, I said, oh my gracious, where are we at? I remember a guy come out who had, I'll never forget it, he had a yellow beard. You know where that comes from. And he was the leader. I remember walking in, I said, Lord, give me strength. Well, what's going on here? I remember the Sunday school started. It was the coldest church I've ever been in. I mean, it was just an old building. I remember the Sunday school started. And they began to teach the Sunday school lesson. And I thought to myself, this isn't fit for a 5-year-old. And I meant that. I'm not saying the woman didn't have good intentions, but she's up there. And it just, no, you could tell she hadn't studied. You could say she just read the book for an hour. And I thought to myself, man, I'm not saying even the Christian was a little off color. I mean, I was like, what's going on here? And then the service started. And I mean, I've never in my life, they sang for like an hour. I mean, it was the most outrageous. It wouldn't even, if people said, was it world best? I can't describe it. It was just off. I went there and I remember, I said, Lord, give me strength. I don't know what's going on here. And I remember the God of heaven dealt with my heart. And said, I have you here for a purpose. And I felt God strengthen me. And I remember I got up there and I began to preach on the blood of the Lamb. And I felt heaven set my soul on fire. And I felt God was using me. He was giving me vision. He was giving me revelation. I'll never forget it as I looked out there. There was a man with a big old pack of cigarettes in his front pocket and a McDonald's cup full of coffee right out there in the middle of the congregation. He set it all down. He walked out the building because he couldn't. I'm not saying it was me, but the Holy Ghost was there. I had people that came to the altars. They were bawling and crying. And that woman that greeted me when I got there, she said, we hadn't heard preaching for years. As far as real preaching, they're without a vision. And they didn't have enough vision. They begin to perish and begin to cast off restraint. Church, I'm telling you, you cannot put price enough on men and women that teach the unadulterated Word of God. You cannot put a price on that. If you can, thank God, I believe here at Abundant Life Tabernacle. Thank God for Brother Glenn. Thank God for the teachers. Thank God. I'm not saying me, but thank God I know God has me here. And you're here with us. That God has put you here. Not because we're anything, but because we need vision. And we're asking God, God, give us a dream for a church. Give us an open vision. Give us revelation. Give us prophecy that we can do the will of God for this church and for everybody that is here. I know that we need that. We look at this Samuel lays down and the Bible says a voice came to him and called out, Samuel. What did he do? He went to Eli's bedroom, who was the priest, and said, did you call me? No. This happened two other times, and the third time we heard this voice cry in the night. Notice this, that Samuel went to Samuel, the third time he went to the room of Eli. Eli said this. He said, "Save this next time he speaks, speak, Lord. The servant hears." The fourth time the voice came through the night and said, "Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." And we know the Bible goes on to say, when there was no vision, when there was no open revelation, a word came to a young boy who was simply willing to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." He had an attentive ear. He was ready to obey. Notice this. God spoke to him and said, "I'm going to tell you things that's going to make the ears of Israel tingle. The Eli's house is going to be judged." God spoke that to a young man because he couldn't speak it to a man who's supposed to be in the position to be influenced. No open vision. I thought about this when I was reading on it. Lord, give us that attentive ear. Let us hear as it says in the book of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." God, speak. How many would say that to this morning with your heart? Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. I hope before you leave here today, in this altar, or sometime during the service, that you'll say, "Lord, I want to have revelation. I want to have vision. I want to know what God desires for my life and for Abundant Life Tabernacle and for my family." So notice this, back to Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm going to add this here. Where there is no vision, the church will perish. Notice this. There has to be a revelation of God's will. Every single church must find it. Every individual must find it. There's got to be a revelation of God's will in your life. If you haven't had that, then you need to get it. And you don't need to wait any longer, because you're probably suffering loss right now because you hadn't yielded. I had gotten saved. And many of you, I've testified, and I said, as a pastor, I'll tell you probably 100 times before I die. I got saved. And I'll be honest with you, I remember getting saved in Pennsylvania in October. Like I said, God really, I got saved. I thought I shouted, but I was getting deliverance. I remember later on, I figured out the road. I said, "I don't know what God really moved on me like He did. I thought I shouted." And as I began to study Scripture, I said, "God delivered me. God delivered me." I remember I went back home and began to pray, and I'm not saying that, but I had a hunger in my heart for the things of God. I remember I would get off work, I would go pray after church every afternoon, spend a season in prayer, and I yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I begin to pray. I said, "God, I know You saved me. I know You spared me. God, I just want to hear Your voice. What do You want from me?" "Derek, I've called You to preach." I said, "Oh Lord, I'm a schizophrenic. Derek, I've called You to preach." I remember it overwhelmed me. I remember I cried, I said, "God, I can't preach. I don't even know. All I know is David killed Goliath and Jesus died on the cross. And I know that man by the name of Noah got in the boat." I didn't know much. But I'm telling you, with vision and revelation and calling, purpose will come. With vision, revelation, and calling, purpose will come. People say, "I don't know the will of God for my life." Start praying and asking Him. He will speak to that heart. There has to be a revelation of God's will. Matthew 16 and 17, notice this. And Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "And Simon," we know that Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And notice here, when Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He said, "Look, your brother didn't tell you about this. The preacher of the road didn't reveal this to you. Your mama didn't reveal this to you." He knew that it was a revelation from the Father which is in heaven. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, yes, we've got the written Word of God, but there's some things the Spirit wants to testify to your heart personally. There's some things He wants to come to confirm to you personally. Yes, I can read this and dissect this and quote this if God will help me. But I'm telling you, I've got to get on my knees. I've got to fast and pray to know the unique will of God in my own life. It's not that God's given me a new revelation. He's given me a fresh revelation. He's given me direction. That's what He is doing. Notice here, He said, "Your mom and daddy, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." My friend, you need this today. If you hadn't had a revealed will of God in your life, you need to get one. I can read the Bible and know it's the will of God to quit sinning. It's revealed. I can read the Word of God and know that I need to flee idolatry and adultery and fornication and youthful lust. I can read the Word of God and know that He wants me to be saved. I can read the Word of God and know, you know why? Because that's already revealed to us. But the unique will of God is when God comes to you and has that perfect, unique message. And He says, look, you know the Word where I said this? I meant that for you personally. And I want you to go here. You read about the missionaries of old, how God worked out the unique will of God in their life. You can tell you why? They knew the dream. They knew the vision. And God opened doors for them. Do you know right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, everybody in this room would find the unique will of God in your life? We would flip this city upside down with a revival. Some people wrestle. Is it the will of God for me to quit watching rated R movies? Full of fornication? You don't need the Holy Ghost to speak to you about that. And I'm not just, you say you're harping on movies. I can harp on a lot of things. Is it the will of God for me to read my Bible and pray? What do you think? If you're waiting for the Holy Ghost to come by and tell you, look, you need to read. No, you know that. But sometimes you need that special revelation where God shows you, and we have to have that. Notice this. Wherever there was a man that could see the vision of God, there was great things that always happened in the midst of a people. My friend, I would ask you this question today. Why are you here? Why are we here? And what are we going to do with our lives? Isaiah 1:1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, who he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. Notice this. There was a vision. These men like Isaiah and Ezekiel and different ones like Jeremiah, God would show them a vision. God would give them revelation. God would give them a dream. And these men would begin to prophesy and tell things and show things, not of their own will, but of the will of the Father, and show the vision and the will of God for that time and generation. 2016, we need a revelation. Right here in this church, we need revelation. Sometimes I say, preacher, tell me something. I would tell you, go to your prayer closet and come back and tell me a little something too. Amen. I loved it when I used to hear, and I want to hear it more often. I was praying at home, and God showed me this, and I believe this. I heard about a sister one time who was an old saintly sister. And I know we don't do it here, and I've never really kept up with them, but it used to my old church. I mean, not my old church, but in the PH, you probably heard this. They put a board on the side of the front of the church and said, this many in Sunday school attendance, and this many and all this much in offering and stuff, to kind of help keep track of things quarter by quarter. I remember hearing about a sister one time. She was on the front pure, old saintly woman of God. And she pointed at the board one day and said, I was a praying, and God said He's going to make that number there 200 in a church. And everybody looked at her and said, sister, I know you mean well, but we hadn't seen 200 in a long time. Matter of fact, we've never seen 200. Last I heard, I think that church was like 280 something. Why? Because vision and dream can come from different ones, and God can show people things to confirm that. We know this, number one, that vision comes from the Word of God. I can read the Word of God and have vision. We notice this, that many times we look through Scripture where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But it goes on. We read this in the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing to get through this. Notice this, that the 8th chapter of Amos, where the preacher from Tekoa prophesied just such a time and said this, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine throughout the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. My brothers, we're in a famine today. We're in a famine. People are not hearing. People are not doing. People are starving spiritually in our own churches and families because there is no revelation. There is no will. There is no wisdom. There is no guidance. Notice this. There's going to be a famine, not for food and water, but for the hearing of the words of the Lord. It is a desperate thing to be without the Word of God or a word from God. It's very desperate. I've traveled, and spiritually speaking, people are starving. I've realized, and I'm going to say this as kindly as possible. And when I say kindly, it wouldn't come out mean, but I'm trying to say it without it sounding wrong. Here recently, I stood in the pulpit somewhere. of a church that used to be on fire for God. And I looked out there and I seen the major compromises in the lives of these families that when I was younger lived holiness and lived a good life. And now they completely cast off all restraint. And I remember praying, I even told Brother Shane, I said, the reason they are this way, because there had been no solid, inspired word from that pulpit. I realize today, if I got up here and told you everything you wanted to hear to grow this church, that we might get numbers. But that doesn't mean it's quality. I often say this, if you ever seen a deer that's been hit and on the side of the road, you know, the next day you go back, that deer's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, but that's not good growth. It's decay, it's rot, it's filth. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, sometimes we look around and admire, look at their structures and facilities. My, they must be used of God. No. It can be decay and rot. And they're perishing. And there's no restraint. They go home and live like the devil. And they come in on Sundays and smile. And they laugh and they giggle. And they live like the devil because there is no vision and revelation from God. Do you know there's times I'd rather preach to you a message on heaven? But God gives me a message to preach against carnality. Do you know there's times I want to preach other things? I said, man, I'd love that would preach right there. And God will say, no, go in there and deal with this. What it is, it's vision, it's revelation, and God knows where we are. So I'm going to move forward here. So notice if we, not only do we have the unique Word of God, but we have the inspired Word of God that we have every day, and faithful people all around us to expound it to us. Today in the United States of America, and many other parts of the world, a person can turn on a radio at almost any time of the day and night and hear different people preaching. Even times that preaching is not the best, but sometimes there's a truth there. But why is it in a country that has so much preaching and so many Bibles and so many books, why is it that we're casting off restraint every day and every year that we live? Do you notice it's getting worse? Do you notice that? I thought about it recently. You know, they just passed, was it last year, about same-sex marriage? Do you know that's pretty much accepted now? I thought about it the other day. I said, you know, at one time, it's just amazing to think about a year ago, we were on the other side of the tables and said, that would never happen. That'd be a disgrace and all that. We're on this side of the table now, and sometimes I'll go a while and not even think about it and say, my Lord, we've done past these laws. We're moving rapidly down and down. So we look at this. When there's an absence of God's Word and God's teachers, hear me this, I really do believe this, that when there's a lack of it, it is God's judgment on a country and a people. Do you notice what Amos said? God will send a famine. He didn't say that, you know, everybody, the devil done did it. No, the devil's allowed to do things. This famine has come from God Himself. It's called prophetic duplicity. It's when people will believe a lie and be damned more than believe the truth and live. Why is that, my friend? It's because I believe that false prophets and teachers, I believe that these men, heaven that you see and hear, who just sit there and renounce and preach the hyper-grace movement of the day. And if you don't know what hyper-grace is, they'll tell you that you never need to repent, that you never need to confess, that you never need to walk and feel like you've got to carry a cross. I tell you, prayer. That is the Word of God. And anything that speaks otherwise is of a false spirit. They'll preach another Jesus. They'll preach another spirit. They'll preach another gospel. He said, beware of them. That's what John said. Many antichrists. It is the judgment of God. False prophets and false messages is the judgment of God on a country. Notice this. 1 Samuel chapter 28. There's the King Saul. Everybody know who King Saul is? We know the story. King Saul becomes an apostate pretty much. We know that Samuel dies. The man of God dies. And here it is. King Saul needs direction because the Philistines have arrayed themselves together to come against him. And when Saul looked out and saw the Philistines and the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. No word from heaven. Notice this. neither by dreams. Maybe he was trying to go to sleep and said, Lord, at least talk to me in a dream. Neither by the Urim and Thummim, when you're in the two stones and were put in a bag. Even then, guess what? God would answer them that way. And some people believe He made two new ones because the other ones were gone. Nor by the prophets. Nobody came to Saul. The vision was gone. The dream had dried up for Saul. The revelation was no longer there. God was now going to use David. And none of those things were there to give him direction. He said, find me a witch. Go out there. He had already killed those women that practiced things with familiar spirits. Obviously, he didn't kill them all. Because he said, go find me one that can conjure up the dead. And we know the story as it goes on. Then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman. We know the story. He got to the place. He was so dead. He was so dry. The vision had left him. He was now apostate. That now he's turning to witchcraft. I heard a man prophesy years ago that if the church does not quit going down the road it's going, that it's going to turn to witchcraft. I've watched it. Many of you probably never heard this term of the Kundalini cult. The things that almost mimic the same thing you see in neo-Pentecostalism. Brother Derek, I'm telling you the truth. Jerking, gyrating, but nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I've laid hands on people who were demon-possessed that spoke in tongues, but it had nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the judgment of God. It's a false message. It's a false spirit. Psalm 74:9 says this, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither there any among us that knoweth how long. Isaiah 29:9, hear this, stay yourselves in wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep. For He hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers and the seers hath He covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. It's a judgment on the people in the country when the vision disappears. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I look in America. You want me tell you what the problem with America is? It's lost its vision. I'm not one of those that sit here a doom and gloom. I trust God for better things. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to. I want better things. But I do know this, that if you abort 50 million plus babies and you legalize same-sex marriage, and you allow men, homosexual men and homosexual women, adopt children and give them hormone pills to stop the hormones till they get of age to decide what they want to be. You're stepping into the fields of the fatherless. And the Bible says, when you step into the fields of the fatherless, that God, that Jesus, that the God would put on His armor and declare war against a people and a nation. I'm telling you, we are at war. But there's a remnant. And God has a people. I don't believe... here recently, Chloe's getting to the place where her attention span can be babysitted by TV a little bit. PBS Kids. I don't know anything about it, but I know the other day it blew my mind. And when I say babysit, there's restraints on it, I promise. She likes listening to some of the kids' songs up there. The other day during the commercial, I was sitting with her for a few moments and let her sit in a chair for a few minutes and watch it about 30 minutes there. And all of a sudden, the commercial came on. I think Brother Shane's seen it before as well. Two men on PBS holding a little boy and said, we're just two loving fathers who just love our children, and PBS Kids makes it possible that we can teach them to count and learn. I thought to myself, oh my gracious. Accepted. There's no vision. Do you know the church used to help to shape the vision of this country? Do you know that the church and the pastors and the pulpits of America used to help establish the direction we were going as a nation? Do you know that? Do you know, I was listening to some statistics recently. Brother Woods did a series on voting. I might make copies for you all. Some of the best studies on voting I ever heard in America. How it was that the founding fathers knew the Bible and inserted scriptures. And how even if you were to join, I think it was William and Mary College, you had to translate a good portion of the Bible from Greek into English or from English into Greek just to join the college. Yale and Harvard used to be ran by men of God and pastors, and the Bible was the handbook. Sunday school was invented because children, it was before the children labor laws, and children worked 6 days a week, and the only day they could learn was on Sunday, and they did it with an open Bible. That's where school really started, to teach and learn. Kick the Bible out of school. Kick Jesus out of school. Kick prayer out of school. Abort babies. Give out birth control to children without consent. You see where we're going? Put morning after pills down in the lobby of the local college dorms that if you get pregnant, you can fry the baby the next morning. This is heavy stuff. But I'm showing you what's happened. We've cast off all restraint. That's where America is. It's affecting our families. It's affecting our churches. It's affecting our minds. Instead of seeking for a revelation of God, we can't wait to find out where we're going to eat next Friday night. Instead of seeking for a revelation of God, I can't. Now, ain't nothing wrong with you. I go out to eat, you can tell. Instead of seeking for a revelation of God, we look every other direction for inspiration and encouragement. Look, I'm all for being a part of things if it's good and holy and you can live a clean life doing it. But even things that are lawful, you've got to be careful that it doesn't drown out the vision. Church, hear me. I'm about to close. But even here recently in my own life, I said, God, these things are lawful. But I see how it's trying to snuff out the vision. You know, I've got a cell phone I use, and it's one of the smartphones, smarter than I am. Not against that. You're not against that. We use them. But I found myself that at one point that I was a lot quicker to grab this and read a little longer. Sometimes I find myself Bible over here. Don't mean it. My phone's going off the whole time. Text, 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 text. Phone call. And I know people now. I'm not against that. You can text and call me all you want to. But I've gotten to the place I said, God, I've put it in that office. I put it in a drawer and put it on silent. Because even when it vibrates, you can hear that thing at 20 feet sometimes. I said, God, because I've got to know Your will. Now, don't you go here and say, Brother Derek said, throw your cell phone in the trash. That'd be a lie. Don't go here and say, Derek Jones said you couldn't have a smartphone. I didn't say that. It's all right. But you better put restraints on it. You've got to be careful that these things do not become idols. I'm going to close with these verses right here because I believe this. I'm going to say these few things. Where there is no vision, your marriage will perish. Where there is no vision, your marriage will perish. You must have God in your marriage. You've got to know His will. You remove the Word and revelation from your marriage, the wife loses her direction of who she is and how she's supposed to be as a wife and a mother, and the husband abandoned his role as a godly father and a husband because you lost the vision. If there is no vision, your children will perish. Remove God's will out of your family. The children do not get corrected as the Word says. Children do not know to respect their mother and father. There's no restraint there. Our schools are a mess today because there is no vision and direction. It's gotten worse, and it will get worse. Where there is no vision, the families will perish. Where there is no vision, the church will perish. Where there is no vision, America will perish and is perishing. I'll read you these last words. Romans 1 and 21. Pretty much Romans 1 gives us three give up of God. Three give ups is what I call them. The three give ups of God. And I'm going to say this and we're going to pray. Number one, it tells us in Romans 1 and 24. It says this, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made of corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts. And God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. The first give up. Do you think America's already there? I believe so. The second give up of God is this. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and God gave them up to vile affections. You think America's been there yet? Oh, yes. We have taken the truth of God and have made it a lie for the most part. Third give of God is this, and I'll let you judge this yourself. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. If America isn't already there, it's not far from it. It's not far from it. Church, I'm going to say this and we're going to pray. If there isn't a vision, the people will perish. As my wife would, everybody just stand to your feet. We'll do it this way this morning. Stand to your feet. We won't make it fancy this morning. We'll just try to obey the Lord. How many would say with me this morning, Brother Derek, I want to know the will of God for my life.